movement was birthed here in the United States in the 1880s and 1890s by the church. Isn't that amazing? The man that headed this up was an evangelist named Blackstone. And in 1891, it's easy to get the years mixed up. In 1891, he presented to the then President Harrison what history records as the Blackstone Memorial. Now, in my book, in an appendix, I have the entire Blackstone Memorial there, so you can read it. And basically what it was he had the signature of over 400 prominent Americans to back this up. He had the great industrialists, Rockefeller and Morgan, and he had the Speaker of the House of the United States. He had the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, mayors, governors, congressmen, church leaders like D.L. Moody and DeWitt Talmadge. Great all over. Editors of papers, mayors of Baltimore, governors of Massachusetts and all, supporting this document, which was calling for an international conference for the creation of what we would today call the State of Israel. That comes from the church, folks, in the 1880s and the 1890s in America. This is the heritage we have. This is how God used America. And in 1916, they had a Zionist Congress, World Zionist Congress in Philadelphia, and the leading Zionist in the world was a U.S. Supreme Court justice by the name of Louis Brandeis. And he invited Blackstone to come and speak at this conference. And he introduced Blackstone as the father of Zionism. And if you know history, he didn't say it was Herzl. The early Zionists attributed the birth of Israel to the American church, not to Herzl and the Jews. Isn't that amazing? I got the quote in the book. He said all Herzl did was take Blackstone's ideas. So what I'm driving at is God had a tremendous plan for the church here in America. And they rose to the occasion. Our forefathers 120 years ago or so rose to the occasion. And the spiritual Israel, Zionism, was birthed here in America, in the church, in the 1880s and 90s. And then from there, God used America. He during World War I, and I've got actual pictures in my book of this, the Ottoman Turks controlled Palestine, the nation where Israel is today. And the Ottoman Turks just finished destroying the Armenian Christians. It was really the first, I hate to use the word great, but great not in a good sense, genocide of the last century. And as soon as World War I broke out, the Ottoman Turks went after the Christian Armenians and slaughtered them, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million, give or take a couple hundred thousand. It's sickening. I mean, they would make the Nazis blush at what they did to the Armenian Christians. That's how bad it was. When the Turks finished, and to Woodrow Wilson's credit, President Woodrow Wilson, he tried to intercede for the Armenian Christians, but there was nothing he could do. I mean, Armenia is way up. You know, if you follow the map today, Armenia is right near Georgia, and it's focusing on the problem with Russia there. So there was very little we could do. And when the Turks finished with the Armenians, they immediately turned on the Jews in Palestine, and they were targeting to eliminate the Jews in Palestine just as they did to the Armenians. And President Woodrow Wilson told the Turks that if you touch the Jews, and I got this in my book, we'll go to war against you. And the Turks backed off. They were at war with France, and they were at war with Britain, and they didn't want to go to war with the United States. Isn't that amazing? The Zionist movement, as we know today, would have been wiped out except for the power of the United States during World War I. And when we declared war on Germany, Turkey was Germany's ally. Woodrow Wilson specifically did not declare war on Turkey so we could keep an open communication with Turkey to protect the Jews. That's how God used America. Does everybody see that? We were directly in the will of God to fulfill His prophetic word. And the church here was in the midst of that. The church was focused on God's word, believing. And Israel didn't exist yet, but they believed in faith that God was going to do it. I've got pictures of the USS Tennessee being loaded with Jews to take them from Haifa over to Jaffa, over to Alexandria, because the Turks were going to kill them again. And they said, if you can get them out of Palestine, that we'll let them go. So our Navy went and took thousands and thousands of Jews out of Palestine and brought them over to Alexandria, Egypt, which is under the control of the British, to protect them from the Turks. World War II. I can't go into that right now, but all I want to say is with the recognition of Israel, with Harry Truman, Franklin Roosevelt would not recognize a Jewish state. It's crystal clear he would not. A week after he sent a letter to the King of Saudi Arabia assuring him that the United States would never recognize a Jewish state in Palestine, he died and Harry Truman was put in office. Harry Truman's grandmother had a tremendous Baptist background. She raised him, telling him about the Jews, the covenant, always be careful with the Jews, you know, respect the Jews. Harry Truman had a very close friend, was a Jewish man. Harry Truman was president of the United States now with his Baptist background. And Harry Truman was a rough corn cob, I admit. If you listen to the things he said, you go, wow. And you know, one minute he was saying derogatory things about the Jews, and the next minute he was blessing them, and he was saying derogatory things about blacks, but then he opened up, he started like the civil rights movement. He was a very unusual man to study. 2 days before Israel was created as a nation by the UN, before Israel declared itself a nation, they asked Harry Truman had a meeting with all his advisors, political advisors, military advisors. All but one said, don't recognize Israel. The Arabs are going to destroy it, and it'll alienate us from them, and Russia will get a foothold. So they asked Harry Truman what he was going to do after the meeting. And he said, I don't know. When I cross that bridge, I'll make a decision. 2 days later, Israel was declared a nation, and at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, at 6:11, Harry Truman's press secretary came out and made a statement saying the United States of America recognizes the state of Israel. Isn't that amazing? It was his Baptist, and when he spoke before Jewish groups, he referred to himself as Cyrus. Harry Truman knew exactly what he was doing. So God removed Roosevelt, who would not recognize a Jewish state, and he put Harry Truman in, who would. You see, God moves people in and out, and it's like a chess game. He moves nations, empires. He'll take one president out and put another man in that will fulfill his will. And the last thing about this, because I just want to show you how God's in American history. The last thing I want to show you is when Israel was a state, obviously they were going to be attacked. They needed an army. And the Israelis went to, this is everything I'm telling you, by the way, is in my book with pictures. They went to an American colonel, Mickey Marcos was his name, and he was very instrumental in writing the surrender document from Germany. Mickey Marcos set up the Nuremberg trials. He set up he was a brilliant lawyer, among other things. He set up the judges, he put them in place. Everything you know about the Nuremberg trials really was Mickey Marcos. He formed, during World War I, he formed the American Rangers. We call them today, Special Forces. That was Mickey Marcos. He's the man that thought of it, developed it, and set it up. He's a Jewish man from New York. He was approached by the Israelis to lead their army. He accepted it. He was still in the colonel in the reserves. And the American army said, look, we'll let you go, but you can't use your name, Mickey Marcos, because we don't want you directly tied to the United States. Isn't that amazing? And he went by the name of Stone. In fact, there's a picture made about this. So when he trained the Israeli army, he trained them. He had the tactics memorized, and he wrote the manual for the Israeli army. And the Israeli army fought the Egyptians, they fought the Syrians, they fought the Jordanians during their War of Independence, led by an American general an American battle tactics. Who knows that? This is how God was using America. And by the way, unfortunately, the very last day of the war, he was killed. He was shot by mistake by one of his own men. And he was the first, he was given the title Aluf. And if you know Hebrew, I don't think I pronounced it right. But the last, like, aloof in history was during the Maccabees. So he was like,